You're live. Perfect. Hey everyone, Jared Robbins here. Welcome back to another episode of JRC TV, or if you're listening on the podcast, welcome back. Or if you're reading this, you will not hear this part or see this part. We have a very special guest this week. It's someone that, I'll give you the backstory of how I found him. I was actually combing through Instagram and I saw a friend through a post up there, and let me see if I can get this up on the screen. I saw this amazing picture of someone who had done something very unique, and he, if you can see this while you're watching, he literally was in badass physical shape, and he decided to gain, I believe, 70 pounds to better understand the plight of overweight clients and what they were going through. And then, if you see the after picture, he went not only gained the weight, but then he went right back to putting himself into a place where he was absolutely shredded. And I saw that picture from a friend of mine who was over in Kuwait, and I had reposted it, and it got tons of reviews from many of you watching, and thank you for the comments and the questions you have. I'll ask some of those too during the interview. And then what had happened was a cousin of mine said, hey, I listened to an interview with him. And so I tracked him down. His name's Drew. Drew, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. I'm glad to be here.
Of course, man. We're excited to talk to you. And understand a little bit how you did it, and also how it transformed not only your health, but how it took off as a business too. It was pretty amazing to see here. My cousin said she heard an interview with you, and I'd love to know, can you give us a little bit of backstory of what was going on? What caused you to want to go from being someone who obviously worked hard to be shredded and in great shape to someone who then went through a whole journey just to understand someone else's psychology? I'd love to know, what was going on?
Of course. So at the time, I was a part-time personal trainer, and I had clients who were overweight. But for me, I grew up my whole entire life being in shape. I grew up in a family of 11 brothers and sisters. We all played sports. We were all very active. And so for me, it was never a struggle to be in shape. All you had to do was eat healthy and work out, and it was that simple. That's all you had to do. And so I had a very black and white mentality when it came to fitness. And so when I was training clients who were overweight, I would get frustrated with them when they would tell me, you know, Drew, I had another soda, I cheated, or I didn't get to the gym this week. And I'm like, well, why can't you just stop drinking the soda? How hard is it just to not drink it? Or why don't you just go to the gym like I told you to? It's not that hard. And so there was this disconnect between me and them where I would get frustrated, and then they would look at me and say, well, you know what, Drew, you don't understand how hard it is because you've always been in shape and it's easy for you. And I kind of took that to heart. I'm like, you know what, you're right. I don't understand why it's so hard. And so I felt like I needed to learn some lessons as a trainer. And so I was just thinking of ideas. And for whatever reason, getting fat on purpose clicked in my mind and made sense. And I felt like it was something that I needed to do. So, of course, I asked close friends and family and my wife, like, you know, hey, are you cool with me doing this? And a lot of the feedback was positive, you know, even though they thought it was crazy. They thought I should do it, and so I felt like it was the right thing for me at the time because I felt like I needed to gain a better understanding of where my clients were coming from so that I could relate to them and they could relate to me.
That's amazing. And I grew up in, they call that understanding your client's model of the world. There's lots of personal development coaches and people who help people with mindset listening, and so understanding the person you're trying to help's model the world, what they're really going through and the filters in which they use to see the world, which you did an amazing job of. I'm curious. I believe that, you know, everyone in life can be a warning or an example of what to do or what not to do. For those of us who are looking for how to gain massive amounts of weight quickly, the unhealthy way, how did you do it?
Just like anything else, it was actually pretty simple. All you had to do was stop exercising and eat a lot of highly processed carbohydrates, which are abundant here in America. So basically what I did for 6 months is I skipped exercise completely, which is actually, believe it or not, was kind of hard for me at first because I was so obsessed with exercising. It was hard for me to not let my body exercise in the beginning. Eventually it became comfortable. I'm like, oh, this is actually nice. I don't have to go to the gym. You know, I don't have to worry about being sore. And then, of course, what I wanted to do, instead of focus on what Morgan Spurlock focused on with fast food, I wanted to focus on everyday typical American foods that we don't think are that bad for us. So I diet full of white bread, white pasta, juices, granola bars, chips, cookies, crackers, soda, sugary cereal, anything that's convenient, very cheap, and that tastes good. So those are the foods that I was eating at the grocery store, and a lot of people could relate to that because that's what a lot of people here in America grew up on and continue to eat, and they think it's not that unhealthy for them because they'll see little labeling on the foods that say, you know, fortified with vitamin A and vitamin D or low fat or non-fat or, you know, those kinds of labeling. They think, whoa, this is, you know, it's got vitamins in it, so it's healthy. So that's what I ate for 6 months, and that's how I gained 76 pounds.
Wow. And it is true. That's what most people believe, and most people do consistently, and it's scary because they don't understand what it's doing. I can certainly understand those moments. I recently, probably in the last 6 months, had a back injury and knocked myself out of the gym for about 3-4 weeks. Now, what's fascinating is, like you said, your body gets addicted to doing the right things when you do them consistently. Yeah. And so all of a sudden, when the endorphins aren't there, and you know the breathing's shallow because you're not moving as much, and all these little things that add up aren't there, it's amazing what it does to your psychology. And I would ask, based on that psychological thought process, did you see anything change beyond just the physical element of it? Did you feel any different emotionally? Did you feel any different mentally just trying to get through your day? Did any of those things change when you were going through that process of gaining?
That's a great question, and that's what the biggest surprise of this whole journey was, and this is the whole reason I wrote a book about it, is because, you know, my book is called Fit to Fat to Fit, The Unexpected Lessons of Gaining and Losing 75 Pounds on Purpose. And so I knew physically I was going to get the man boobs. I knew I was going to get this big gut and love handles. I knew all of that was going to happen. What I wasn't prepared for was how it was going to affect me mentally and emotionally, as a husband, as a father, going out in public, self-esteem. I'll give you some examples here in a little bit, but the physical stuff I was prepared for, the psychological stuff I was not prepared for. Going out in public, you know, as a fit guy, I was very confident. I liked to wear tight-fitting clothing, you know, liked the way I look. Now, being overweight was totally different. It was hard for me because I wanted to tell people, look, you know, I'm not usually overweight. Like, this is an experiment I'm doing. And I wanted to wear loose clothing all the time. I didn't want to show off my body because I wasn't confident with who I was because I was so used to being the fit guy all the time. And so even like in front of my wife, stepping out of the shower, I would cover up in front of her. I didn't want her to see me naked because I didn't like the way I looked. And I knew for her that it wasn't so much that she wasn't attracted to me because of the physical change. It was because of how I viewed myself. She'll tell me nothing is sexier than confidence, and that's true. I was not confident in who I was, and so that's what made her less attracted to me. It wasn't because of my physical condition. It was how I viewed myself. Going out in public, I can't really say people were mean to me or did things like that to me, but you do feel the judgment. People look at you differently. At the grocery store, for example, I have a grocery cart full of cookies and crackers and cereal and soda and all the good stuff. And I could see people kind of stare at me as I was at the checkout line putting all this food on the conveyor belt, and you know, people would stare at my stomach and then back at the food, and you kind of just feel the judgment. And so for me, it was totally foreign. It opened up my eyes, and to be honest with you, it was very, very humbling to go through that side of the journey.
Interesting. And it's true. It happens naturally. And I would have a question, and this is on kind of the turnaround curve when you started to bring it back together, when you started to kick it back in and do the things that you've done in the past to get yourself going. Being in the point when you were out of shape and kind of at the valley of that curve, let's say, when you're about to make the shift, psychologically and mentally and emotionally, was it exciting because you're like, oh, man, I get to be who I know I am. I get to get back to that place. Or was it an area of like, shit, I hope it works? Like,
That's a good question.
What happened in that curve? What happened in that moment for you?
At that point in time, I see where my clients were coming from, where they felt stuck in that place because it was a very comfortable place, eating that kind of food, not having to exercise. I can see why people become very comfortable in that situation, because to change all that and to be healthy is a lot of hard work, both physically and mentally, and it was good for me to see it from that perspective, whereas before, I was always in shape, and so I never saw it from that perspective. For me, I was like, well, it's so easy. Why is it so hard for you? And so for me, I kind of saw it from my client's perspective, which was the whole purpose of my journey, right?
Absolutely. And I think what's interesting, and something I don't know if you did notice, but I'm guessing being from a large family, did a good amount of brothers or sisters work out? Were they all people who worked out, were in the gym as well regularly?
That's a good question. Actually, it's about half and half. Some of them are, you know, in shape athletes. Some of them are more living the sedentary lifestyle. We have some Polynesian blood in our family, and so bigger genes. And so I have some brothers that are bigger boys, and so it's kind of funny to see the dynamic in our family. Some of us are in shape. Some of us kind of caught on to that. Some of us didn't.
Interesting. And one thing I've noticed is peer group. A lot of times of who you spend time around consistently will either help spark you on a new path or might even keep you in a certain position in life, depending on what that group tends to do as a group. But just the thought. So I'm curious. You started to turn around and you put in the hard work. What were some of the things you changed to get yourself to drop the weight? I think that's the huge question that a lot of people tuning in might be asking.
Yeah, of course. Well, unfortunately, there's no magic pill or new technique that I invented or anything like that. It really did, you know, it really was the hard work. But I'll say this is when I first started, I did start cold turkey, right? And what I did for the first 30 days is I focused 100% on nutrition. I didn't exercise for the first 30 days, believe it or not, because I wanted to show people the power of nutrition, because in my opinion, to see results, the key is in your nutrition more than exercise, right? And so that's why I wanted to show people for those first 30 days. So I went from about 5,000 calories of processed goodness to 2,000 calories of, you know, clean whole foods. People are like, oh, vegetables, they don't taste good. But that's kind of what I went from this extreme to that extreme. And it was literally hell for the first 2 weeks to make that transition. And it really opened up my eyes to just how powerful food addiction and food cravings are. Because before, I'm like, to my clients, I would be like, come on, guys, that's just an excuse. Like, you're just, you know, mentally weak. Just, you know, just dig deep and don't eat the food. Just eat the healthy food. And it shouldn't be that hard until I lived it myself and realized just how much more it's an emotional connection. So it's not as easy as just saying no. You're so emotionally connected to food, and I didn't realize that until I did this. And that lasted for about 2 weeks, where I was grumpy, I was moody, I had headaches. My wife, I think, hated me for the most part during those 2 weeks because I didn't like myself. I didn't like the way I felt. And so luckily, over time, your body does adjust. But that transition period, that's why a lot of people don't stick with their diet, is because the body kind of fights back going through these withdrawal symptoms. And so, you know, I did eat clean for those 30 days and saw some amazing results.
There's a question that someone asked. They said, you know, I'm on the exercise portion of it, but I still crave chocolate, though. Those cravings. Is there anything specific you did that helped kind of limit or minimize those cravings when you were in that spot?
Yep. So what we do, we teach people how to cheat clean. That's what we call it, or clean cheats. And so what we teach them is to find a healthier alternative to the sugar-filled chocolate that gives your body the same, releases the same endorphins and tastes good and makes you feel like you're having a dessert, but it's a healthified version of it, so that you get the best of both worlds, where you feel like you're getting a treat, but it's not actually a cheat meal because it's not full of sugar. It's a healthified version of it. So that's one of the tips we teach our clients.
Very cool. Very cool. That's useful. Another question we got was from Monica. She's up in Canada. She says, ask him what he knows to be a buffer to help a person who is overweight to encourage them to take that step forward as opposed to bumping into the same limitations. So how do you help someone break through, seems to be stuck?
So that's a great question. And my book kind of goes into this on a deeper level. In a short-term answer, there's two things that every person needs to have when they're trying to make a change in a lifestyle. That is, one is accountability, and two is a support system. So you have to find some way to stay accountable to someone else other than yourself. Because if it's just you trying to make this change in lifestyle, You're going to have moments of weakness. You're going to be stressed out from life. You're going to want to give in. And so when no one else is watching, it makes it hard to give in. So I've had clients who have started blogs or a Facebook page to create that accountability. But then also they need to find a support system, whether it's close friends or family or an online community that they can kind of report into, which, you know, helps keep them accountable, but also gives them encouragement and belief, but also a kick in the butt when they need it sometimes. And so those two things right there are so powerful, not just in fitness and making any kind of lifestyle change.
Very cool. That makes total sense. Absolutely agree.
Yeah.
The other part that came about here, which is interesting, is you, like you said in the beginning, you weren't doing this full time. You were actually working in a different field. This was kind of a part-time fun thing that you love to do, you're passionate about.
Yeah.
What happened, and what do you think the moment was that caused it to go from, you know, full-time work over here, part-time passion, to be able to run full-time passion as a business? What do you think set you apart and gave you the ability to do that and make that transition?
That's a really good question, and I look back at it, and I think to myself, you know, a big part of it honestly was luck. But even before the luck happened, I had an idea that I got feedback from my close friends and family to see what they thought first. And then from there, I had the guts to run with it. As controversial as it was, and some people told me, look, this is unhealthy, it's going to be a risk, it's going to distract you from your other job. I took that gamble and that risk of just doing it. I didn't know how to start a website when I started this, so I learned how to create my own website, right? And I took those steps, which a lot of people that would kind of shy them away from doing something like this because there's effort, right? You have to put effort and work into it. And I just put the effort into learning how to do it, and I ran with it. And yes, there was some luck involved, right? I didn't know Dr. Oz was going to want me on a show or Jay Leno. That was all luck. But I had something I was passionate about, I believed in, and luckily some good things happened, but the work has to come first, in my opinion.
Absolutely. We can certainly, if you're looking for internet marketing skills or online platforming skills, we can certainly connect you to people who can help you grow that even more.
Yes.
But you're spot on. And I think from an outside perspective, if it's okay to share, what really
great
in my eyes was you're willing to take the risks that other people aren't willing to take. You're willing to go and physically get a real life true result in a way that most people are not willing to do. They could talk about it, they could strategize about it, they could brainstorm on it, they could tell everyone how they think it'll happen, but you actually did it. You know, blood, sweat, and tears, you put yourself in the position, you went through it. Now, we live in a society, I was just listening to an interview, which is funny because everyone wants to brand themselves as an expert. Everyone wants to brand themselves as a leader, as the guru, as the chief of the village, but no one wants to be the person who actually goes and does the work. And I think you're a beautiful example of someone who is like, hey, you know what? How do you become a chief nowadays? Be the person who grabs the first shovel and starts digging the hole. Like, that's how you become a chief. People listen when they see that you're actually producing real life, real world results that matter. And I love what you're up to. I dig what you're doing. And I dig the fact that when everyone else is just trying to put, you know, a certificate on their chest and tell everyone how awesome they are, you're the guy who's like, screw it, get out the way, let me do the work.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
We wouldn't be talking if it wasn't true. You know, there's millions of fitness trainers around the world always, and I have friends that have come to me and said, you know, how do I grow my business? How do I market myself? And I told them, be remarkable. That's how you market yourself. Do something that no one else has done in a way they've never done it, and you will completely stand out. Now, obviously, you did it in a unique way. Is this saying that for every health trainer on the planet, the unique way to stand out now is to gain weight and lose it? No, it's been done.
Yeah.
Out another unique way, if you're listening to this, trying to figure out how to separate and differentiate yourself in business. Another beautiful thing you did that was really, really amazing that I saw was your ability to process and kind of track what you went through and your ability to go with it and see what happens and hit the unexpectedness, but more importantly, not just go through it yourself and go, wow, I didn't see that coming, but to go through it and keep track of what uniquely happened to you, to be able to wrap that into a book and use it as somewhat of a guide to hand to someone else is a beautiful asset that most people nowadays don't take time to do. They don't track what they're doing. They don't measure their metrics. They don't pay attention to the distinct differences that lets them stand apart from others. And you've done that, which is amazing. For those people who are watching that want to get a copy of your book or want to learn more about you and connect with what you're up to, and how can they do that?
Yeah, so my website is fit2fattofit.com with the number 2, so fit2fattofit.com. My book is available on Amazon, at Barnes & Noble, and Targets, as well as other online retailers, Kindle as well. Pretty much anywhere you can find it online. Just Google Fit to Fat to Fit, you'll find it, I promise you. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Feel free to follow me on there as well. And Fit to Fat to Fit, I'll just say one thing, was one journey. I'm actually on a second journey right now with a lot of other kind of journeys that I have planned in the future that follow the same format, which are somewhat controversial but catch people's attention, and then at the end of the day, educates and inspires people. And that's kind of what my forte is. That's kind of my niche in this industry, is doing things that are a bit controversial, but at the end of the day, my goal is to inspire and educate people on how to live a healthy lifestyle, and so that's kind of what I do.
That's awesome, man. If you wouldn't mind giving a sneak preview, if you're going to give any hints, but what's this next journey about?
Well, I'm actually about 5 weeks into it, so it's already in progress. It's called Gluten-Free Fat2Fit.com, and what it is, it's a mini version of Fit to Fat to Fit with a gluten-free twist. So we all know what gluten-free is. It's a popular word, a popular diet. I'm actually exposing the unhealthy side of it for 2 months by gaining a little bit of weight, becoming a little bit unhealthy, eating 100% gluten-free, because people think, 37% of people think if a product says gluten-free on it, it's healthier for them. And so I'm actually showing that that's not the case by eating these foods that are labeled gluten-free, like gluten-free cereal and gluten-free crackers, gluten-free breads, all these gluten-free options that are now available. I'm actually exposing the unhealthy side of it for 2 months. Then the next 2 months we'll be educating people on how to eat gluten-free the right way, the healthy way, as I get back to fit. So I'm just showing both sides of it to build awareness that everything that says gluten-free isn't always healthy for you. And so try not to buy into the fad part of the diet.
Very cool. Well, all I can say is you're a brave man to put yourself through this consistently in some different way and format here. Very, very cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us for this. Thank you so much for allowing us to interview and connect with you and share your message of, again, we'll have all the links below this video and also up on all the pages this is on. It's Fit, F-I-T, the number 2, Fat, F-A-T, the number 2, Fit, F-I-T.com. It's an awesome website, great resources. Definitely check it out. Thank you for joining us here, and I hope you all have another amazing week. We'll see you soon.
See ya.